Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our scripture this morning is John, or the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wife gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to me and to you? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the person in charge of the banquet." So they took it. When the person in charge tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, that person called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs, in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is the word of the Lord. I have seen online occasionally, sometimes in different prayers or sometimes in people just talking, calls or hopes for a revival, almost in the old school big tent style. I kind of get the draw of revival. If you remember back, I want to say in 2023, I might be getting my years mixed up, there was a revival at a school called Asbury that went on for a couple weeks. It was a worship service that just ended up keeping on going and going and going. There were hopes for something big to happen afterwards, and there could still be something down the line, but we haven't seen it yet. I'll be honest, as a person in the Reformed tradition, I tend to look at things like that with a little bit of skepticism. It's just who I am. But we all kind of get this feeling from time to time, sometimes more than others. We would love to just see the church like it used to be. I know for me personally, I have fond memories of growing up in a youth group that had tons of volunteers and many kids, although they did begin to dwindle by the time I was a senior. I was the last one, at least in my grade. But I remember all of the people that were with us back then. I remember being down in Shreveport. They have a picture in their office, I think from the 80s, of when they were all out on the front stairs of their church taking a whole church picture, and it could barely contain them. It feels like those were better times. In some ways, the first miracle of Jesus was a revival. The wedding party is obviously dying down. They were out of drink, which, if you didn't know, I read this week, back then you didn't really have the ability to go on a honeymoon to some fancy place, so what you did instead was had a week-long feast with all of your friends. And it seems like some sort of miscalculation has occurred, and the wine has run out too early. Although our text makes sure to tell us that the disciples were invited, there is some question as to whether Jesus bringing 12 extra people with him may have caused part of this problem. But Jesus, with some prodding from his mother, of course, revives the party. Jesus shows us again what we have been shown by God in the past and what God has reminded us through the prophets, that something cannot be so far gone as to not be able to come back or to be saved by God. If you'll remember back, way back to last year in June or May, we had that passage of the dry bones in Ezekiel. Like those dry bones, here the reserves are also dried up. And while we don't get this visceral image of flesh stitching back to bones, we do get an exuberant one of a party that might not have made it any further being brought back to life by a miracle of Jesus. However, I think if we call this just a revival of the party, we kind of miss the point. And here I want to go into a very brief excursion outside of biblical text into Dungeons and Dragons. So in Dungeons and Dragons, if your character dies, there are a few different things that can happen. There's one spell, Revivify. If you can get to the person quickly enough and they haven't been like destroyed, like they weren't killed in some awful way, you can bring them back just as they were, the same person. They have been revived. However, for people that have been hurt in some other way or that have been dead for too long, that's no longer an option. And there are many different rituals that will bring you back, but oftentimes different. You'll have to roll on a table and see what your character is now that they have come back to life. They have not just been revived, they have come back as something different. Jesus doesn't simply make more of the same wine that had been carrying the party, or more inferior wine like would be expected for a normal party of the day. Jesus makes good wine, noticeably different wine. He not only makes this wine, but he makes it in vessels of a tradition that did not end up persisting into Christianity. And I don't know how it may have persisted into modern Judaism. Rather, he makes something new here, just as in our text, Jesus forms a new covenant, a new way of being in relationship with God. I wonder if as we have looked for revival of our churches, as we have hoped for that kind of energy to return, we have accidentally limited God in our expectations of the outcome. As we all know, people missed Jesus as the Messiah in the New Testament because Jesus didn't hit their expectations. Jesus wasn't coming back as a powerful king leading an army to overthrow an oppressive government and to restore the kingdom of Israel. Jesus came back to save sinners. I think that maybe we are supposed to be following in the pattern of Jesus' mother here. While Mary did indeed nudge Jesus to say, hey, there's a problem here, Mary did not tell Jesus how to go about doing it. She made preparations, ones that were wide open, that would allow Jesus to act however he would to solve this problem. And I think for that way of approaching it, better wine was given space to be created. As we ask God for revival here, as we look for that new energy in our space, have we put our own expectations forward, causing us to miss miracles that have occurred and that will occur? How can we best prepare to make our spaces ready to hold a new good thing. As we all know, we are in a time of transition. Beth is our transitional pastor. We are moving towards something different. I think as we go throughout our weeks, it's going to be important for us to be thinking about what kind of thing is First Presbyterian called to be in the future? How will we continue our mission in the world? What form will it take? What is it going to look like? As a side note, as we do that kind of preparation, transitional work is necessary. Next week at Sunday school, we are starting that transitional work. And I really want to encourage you to be there, to put together a timeline of where our church has been, to help us figure out a picture of where it might go. I don't have answers for the questions I have put forward at the end of this message here. But I do have an assurance. God will not leave us empty. God has new things planned. The party has only slowed down just a little bit before a joyous continuance. Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.